This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
The praying grandma was convicted yesterday on January 6th charges. A D.C. jury convicted Rebecca Laverenz, a 71-year-old, well, I guess she's 72 years old now, grandmother from Colorado, on all four misdemeanor charges for entering the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021. She faces up to a year in prison and fines of more than $200,000 for staying in the Capitol building for all of 10 minutes. She says, I felt like I was on assignment from God. Why was she there? To pray for her country. She said, I didn't get into this for myself. I was there to stand up for my country. I asked God if I did something wrong, if I needed to repent. God said, no, you went there to make my presence known and to pray. And that's just what she did. So she was convicted for that. It's part of the increasing war against God, not only in this country, but all over the world, friends, as we're going to see today on Viewpoint. Two FBI agents knocked at her door in Colorado and said they were there to investigate her involvement in January 6th. Nearly a year and a half later, in December of 2022, she was arrested and charged. She was also known as the J6 Praying Grandma and now faces up to a 1 year in prison for peacefully walking around the Capitol and praying for our failing nation on January 6th. For 10 minutes. An Easter Sunday drag queen event there in San Francisco. They went there to mock Christ. They said, we're rewriting history so that Jesus never existed. That's what they said. Mock Jesus Christ, the Virgin Mary, and a number of values many Christians and conservatives share. It was conducted by the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, a perpetual war against God. They were putting on an Easter event in San Francisco, which they've done for decades now. And this year, a crowd of about 10,000 gathered for the 45th annual Party Against God. The finalists for the Hunky Jesus 2024 costume contest included Disco Ball Jesus, Golden Shower Jesus, Trailer Trash Jesus, and the eventual winner, Jesus Ken, who dressed up in a Barbie toy box with his arms outstretched on a makeshift cross. One drag queen, Sister Roma, says, is it wrong that I'm attracted to Trailer Trash Jesus? You get the point. It is a blatant, blasphemous attack against God. Everywhere you go, it's an attack against God. Someone apparently has a serious problem with the Word of God. As a police investigated the intentional burning last Sunday of about 200 Bibles near a Christian church at Mount Juliet, Tennessee. Pastor Greg Locke of Global Vision Bible Church was there. Well, he's the pastor of the church, but that morning at 6 a.m., security cameras caught a man dropping off a trailer in the middle of the intersection and blocked the road into their church. He then got out and set fire to the entire trailer full of Bibles right in front of the church. Some 200 Bibles were burned. A war against God and his word, yes, even in the Bible Belt. From San Francisco to the Bible Belt to Washington, D.C. to Colorado, everywhere, a war against God. A war against God from our nation's capital, including the President of the United States, the putative President of the United States, and his entire cabinet, including his wife, who apparently, according to news, behind the scenes, she has basically put complete pressure on her husband to order Israel to stop its war against Hamas. Just stop it. Where does she get that authority? Where does he get that authority? I thought he was in favor of democracy. Well, he's only in favor of democracy if the democracy goes in favor of his godless agenda, both politically and spiritually and practically. Friends, the war against God is so great, and it is multiplied with such intensity that we need to be aware of it. This, my friends, is the new and broader expression of persecution in our world today. It is a war against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the Son of God, the Creator, who was the creator of the universe and is our only Savior and Lord. The entire world is in an uprising against God. Today on Viewpoint, we take a look at that, but we also shift over to the Middle East because the intensity is building there, and it's the same war against God. It's just being manifested in a different way. You see, this time around, persecution is taking a very different turn. In fact, it's becoming virtually enveloping in every aspect. One could call it a series of multiplied agendas. Whatever you want to call it, it is what it is. It's persecution. And persecution against Christians and against Jews is actually a war against the God who chose Israel as the apple of his eyes and chose you and I as followers of Jesus Christ, grafted in to the original olive tree to represent him on this planet until Christ comes. The war is intensifying. And so I'm glad that you've joined us. It's conversation as always with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms, and I'm glad that you have joined us here today on Viewpoint. Believe it or not, well, probably if you knew anything about the history of Hamas, if you knew anything about the history of the PLO, formerly under Yasser Arafat during the days of Bill Clinton, you would know that they have absolutely no desire and no intention of settling anything with Israel. So again, yesterday, Israel's last proposal to cease fighting and release hostages, actually it happened today. Hamas rejected Israel's latest proposal to cease fighting and release hostages. You know, they wanted Israel to release 800 of their Hamas terrorist fighters in exchange for 50 hostages. I want you to think about the rationale of that. Israel has spent all this money and this time to gather together and rally up all of these fighters for Hamas, and they want them to be released in exchange for 50 hostages, about a third of all of the hostages that yet remain in Hamas's control. What kind of rationale is that? It's not rationale at all. In other words, Hamas has absolutely no intention of settling anything. They want to continue to use this as a device to gather the nations of the earth against Israel, and that's exactly what's happening. It's happened before over and over again, and it's happening all over again. Deja vu all over again. The war against God and against his people. We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
The war is on, friends. The war against God is on. It's intensifying all over the world, and we're going to see it play out in so many different ways. You may recall back in Matthew chapter 24, called the Olivet Discourse, where Jesus gave his final words to his disciples 2 days before his crucifixion. As he was sitting there on the Mount of Olives across from the eastern gate of Jerusalem, and they asked him, "Master, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age. Those of you who have been listening to this program long know the very first thing that Jesus said was, take heed that no man deceive you. And so we've talked about the deception coming upon the earth, coming upon, yes, even followers, purported followers of Jesus Christ, upon our churches, deception everywhere. Jesus said it would be the penultimate, it would be the ultimate expression of the sign of the times concerning how things were going to be in our world. Then he talked about wars and rumors of wars, and he talked about pestilences and earthquakes in many places. Well, we just had one there in New Jersey and New York. Never has New York had such an earthquake in over 100 years, and over 200 years in New Jersey. We don't want to make that much of a 4-point on the Richter scale earthquake, but it is unusual. Then, of course, comes the eclipse coming up next week, and that is another one of these very, very, very unusual things that Jesus said there in Matthew 24, that there would be signs in the heavens, and the sun would be darkened, the earth, and would not shed its light, and so on. Well, how is that going to happen? Well, the moon blocks out the sun. It's called a total eclipse. And that's going to happen again. So we have all of these things that are developing. But then Jesus said, these are just the beginning of sorrows. Read about it in Matthew chapter 24. Those things that we think about the most are just the beginning of sorrows. The very next thing that Jesus talks about in the next several verses are the rise of persecution against God's people. He says, because iniquity is going to grow so great that the love of many, even in our churches, will wax very weak. And they'll begin to actually betray one another. Doesn't that sound like persecution to you? Maybe it's the ultimate form of persecution coming from inside, friendly fire coming from inside the house. But it's still persecution, and all persecution is, in effect, a war against God. So, what we're looking at now is a developing situation where all of the various tributaries of prophetic prophecy are converging together to display a monumental, almost like a 4th of July display. Rockets in red air, bursting in air, gave proof through the night that prophecy was still there. Yeah. So, it's happening. We're not going to put our finger on any particular thing. It's the convergence of all of these things, friends, that causes you and me, causes us to lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. But as John the Apostle said, whoever has that hope in him will purify himself, even as Christ is pure. In other words, we will take seriously the time. We will begin to really assess and reassess our own lives before God and the Holy Spirit, asking the Lord to purge away the dross in our own lives, to purify us like silver in the fire, so that we will be prepared to be able to stand in the evil day. And of course, that's what's my latest book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Our Hearts for Perilous Times. That's what it's all about. And I'm in the process of the second proofreading right now. And the more I read what has been written, the more I realize how passionately and how piercingly this is written to touch our hearts. I'm just astounded. And I'm thrilled that God is going to make available to you all and to others around the world, much through many of your efforts in joining with the Persecution Project, in order to make this happen as expeditiously as possible. Today I received a note from one of our listeners, and he said he was so thrilled, so proud to be able to join with that particular endeavor. Others have expressed similar kinds of feelings. Others feel compelled that this is so urgent, this is so necessary, that we're right here on the cusp of these events, and we do need to get the message out. So for those of you who feel that way, on whose hearts the Lord moves, then you might want to still be part of the Persecution Project. And that would enable you to, the way you do that is at the minimum level, for every $250 that you give, specifically identified as for the Persecution Project, you will receive, when the book first comes out, 10 copies of the book. Now, I'm guesstimating the book is going to be somewhere between 300 and 340 pages. It's not a lightweight book. It's not the longest one I've written, but it's certainly not a short one because it's so all-encompassing about the entire warp and woof of persecution from the inside out, of what it looks like and how you and I should respond in order to be prepared, prepare our families, our children, those that we love. Pastors prepare their people. Every chapter is followed by half a dozen questions or more that help to drive the message, help us to apply the message deeply in our hearts and our minds. What a great book for small groups and so on, Bible studies and so on. So anyway, $250 to Save America Ministries. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or you can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, or you can go to our website, saveus.org, saveus.org, and there's a special place there for you to sign up for the Persecution Project. As I said, in $250 increments, each of which is a commitment, and for that you will receive 10 books. You're not buying books now. This is not about selling books. This is about God's people participating in getting a message out that needs to be gotten out as rapidly as possible. People say, well, what can I do? What can I do in times like this? I hear what you're saying. I hear all of these things. What can I do? Well, here's something you could do. And what you do is going to be very important for the 10 people who receive that book from you. This is not an evangelistic tool, friend. This is a book that is designed for professing Christians because they're not ready. Just not ready. Fathers have not been preparing their children. Mothers have not been preparing their children. Fathers haven't been preparing their families. Pastors, in many respects, have not been preparing their people. They're afraid. This book will help to breach through that gap and help all of us to become a true minister of our God in this moment of time, as war against God is breaking out everywhere. So, $250, 10 books, $500, 20 books, $750, 30 books, $1,000, 40 books. Most people are coming in at $250. We've had a number at $500 and at least one that I know of at $1,000. But we are thankful. We're very, very grateful for those of you. And it's obvious that God has gripped your minds, grips your hearts, and you feel, have this strong sense that God is calling you to be a participant in this effort. Bless your efforts in that regard. There's no pressure here. Now, we continue to take a look at this matter of the war against God. Netanyahu is warning Iran today. He addresses growing threats by Iran during a cabinet meeting yesterday. It says, whoever attempts to harm us will be harmed. Now, why is he doing that? Because of increased threats from the Islamic Republic. That is, from Iran. For years, Iran has been working against us, both directly and through its proxies, and therefore Israel has been working against Iran and its emissaries, both defensively and offensively, said Netanyahu during the ongoing security meeting yesterday. He said, we will know how to protect ourselves, and we will act according to the simple principle that whoever hurts us or plans to harm us, we will harm them, said the prime minister. So this morning, this very morning, the IDF, Israeli Defense Force, announced that the leave of all combat soldiers was canceled in light of the Iranian threats. This is a big deal, friends. How big a deal is it? Well, you might consider that 28 Israeli embassies around the world are closed today as a result. 28 Israeli embassies around the world are closed due to the Iranian threats today. Diplomats serving abroad have expressed their concern that their embassies will be the target of Iranian retaliation. Israeli embassies across the globe were placed on high alert following increasing threats of an Iranian attack on Israeli diplomats. It's happening. It's worldwide. It's a war against God. It's a war, in many respects, led by Iran. Iran is one of the chief drivers of this because Iran sees itself as, well, as a former president of Iran, Ahmadinejad, once said to Louis Farrakhan, head of the Nation of Islam. He said that Farrakhan said to Ahmadinejad that Iran was the head of the Islamic order that would rule the world. So Iran is trying to live up to that. Iran believes that they are called to be the representatives of Allah to bring about the worldwide commitment to Allah so that the whole world will cry, Allah Akbar, God is greater, greater, and all the world would be submitted to Sharia law, either by voluntarily submission or at the point of the sword. Voluntary submission means not the way you would think of voluntary submission, but to come under a horrific tax system that would make it impossible for anyone who surrenders to ever rise up in any level of prosperity ever again. It's about bondage. It's about bondage. So Satan is using Iran in the name of God, Allah, using Iran to wage war against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, largely because of the perpetuating envy that the Muslim people have, including many Arabs, against Israel, because God said to Abraham in Genesis 17 that it was through Isaac that his seed would be called, not through Ishmael. So the Muslims say, that's an error, that's a mistranslation. No, it was supposed to be through Ishmael, and therefore we reject that part of the Bible. We reject Israel. Israel must be eradicated because they stand in the way of the descendants of Ishmael, and those who embrace Allah and Islam, which so many of the descendants of Ishmael have embraced, that we must eradicate Israel and as the little Satan, and we must also eradicate America and all who would stand for Christianity as the great Satan. That's the goal. It's driven by envy. I have an entire chapter in this book coming up helping us all to see how potent envy is as a driving force in persecution. Envy is what caused all of this in the first place. If you go back over 6,000 years, when Satan was in the Mount of God in the heavens, and he was envious against God. And he was the most beautiful created being, the anointed angel that covereth. And he said, I'm going to be equal with God. So he took about a third of the angels with him, most people believe. And as a result, there was a rebellion in heaven. And that rebellion spread to earth. Satan invested that rebellion in Adam through Eve. And then the rest is history, and you and I are experiencing the eternal fallout of it to this day. The war against God. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
A week or so ago, Iran was sending a major supply train, so to speak, through Syria to rearm and resupply Hezbollah there in the north, in Lebanon, to wage its war against Israel. Hezbollah was already making threatenings and slaughterings against Israel, trying to use Israel's being taken over with concentration with Hamas in the south, and America's battle against Israel, trying to weaken her with regard to Hamas. And therefore, Hezbollah said, this is our big opportunity. We're even stronger than Hamas was. Let's get us ready. So Iran got in and decided to make them ready for the big battle. And Israel saw what was happening and struck this supply chain or train there in Syria. And two Iranian generals were killed. And so Nasrallah, heading up Hezbollah in Lebanon, says, now this is the turning point. Well, they were already getting ready to attack Israel. That's exactly why Israel attacked that supply train. And so everybody is using everybody else as a justification, you see, for their war against God. Now, the war against God has to have an object on earth. You see, they can't find God. They can't get jurisdiction over God. You see, one person facetiously filed a lawsuit against God. And when it was brought to the court denied and rejected the lawsuit and said that it had no jurisdiction. Well, that's true. The court had no jurisdiction over God. And these nations think they have jurisdiction, but they don't have jurisdiction over God. So guess what their object is? Those who represent God on this planet. Those who represent the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are the necessary objects of the war against God. And it comes in many different ways, whether it comes from San Francisco with the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence and their blasphemy, whether it comes from Tennessee, where somebody burned 200 Bibles there in the parking lot of a major church, whether it comes from the Biden administration arresting a 72-year-old grandma who was praying at the Capitol for 10 minutes and accusing her of a misdemeanor. All of these are part of the war against God. They hate God. They hate any idea that God would have any kind of authority on this planet. The World Economic Forum is another agency in the war against God. The Great Reset is about resetting the world, not according to God's plan, but according to man's plan, which is Satan's plan. You see, Satan doesn't have jurisdiction either, except insofar as Adam gave authority to Satan to govern his life, and the rest of us are inheriting that nefarious agenda that Satan wreaked upon Adam and Eve in the garden. So it's an unbelievable great war with many, many fronts. One of the chief agents of any war is deception. It's no wonder that Jesus said there in Matthew 24 to his disciples that one of the premier characteristics of these end times would be massive deception. And that deception is not just in the world at large, friends. Jesus also said there that many were going to come in his name and deceive many. We heard today of a professor at a Christian university, one of the largest universities in the country, a Christian university, allegedly, who was making public statements that were basically a war against God by attacking the very foundations of Scripture while claiming over and over again he's a Christian and teaches theology and other subjects in this Christian university. No wonder Jesus said, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to inherit the kingdom, only those who do my will. This is not that difficult to understand. Jesus had to do the will of his Father. Then he turned around and he said, I'm leaving now. As the Father sent me, I send you. He didn't send us just to make converts, friends. He sent us to be living examples to do the will of God, just like Jesus did. In every respect, to occupy till he returns. Even the exclusive emphasis on evangelism has been deception, because it enabled people to shift the focus of the Great Commission from teaching people to obey everything that God has commanded, called discipleship, to evangelism, because evangelism could be marketed and raise money, but discipleship could not. That's deception. It comes in many, many forms. And all of it is a war against God and his purposes. We have to be very careful that we don't get caught up in these errant agendas. We don't want to do an end run around God and his purposes, do we? Now, Joe Biden is up to his eyeballs in all of this. An Iranian official said today that Washington, that is the Biden administration, had warned Iran not to attack U.S. facilities after Iran had told the Biden administration not to fall into Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's trap, whatever the trap was. In a written message, the Islamic Republic of Iran warned U.S. leadership not to get dragged in with Benjamin Netanyahu, stay away. And in response, Biden responded and asked Iran not to target American facilities. In other words, Biden shows absolutely no commitment whatsoever to Israel. It's all about Biden. It's all about Biden's reelection. It has nothing to do with protecting America. It has everything to do with a profoundly selfish power grab for power, perks, and position by Mr. Biden and the Democrat Party. It has nothing whatsoever to do with favoring Israel or attempting in any way whatsoever to support the biblical view that we purported to support in this country of the role of Israel in our world and in biblical prophecy. So, things are heating up dramatically. Dramatically. Now, before we go further, I want to make available to you my book, King of the Mountain. Many of you have this book. It's been one of our best-selling books ever. King of the Mountain, the Eternal Epic End Time Battle. For it is said that he who rules the Temple Mount rules the world. The ultimate battle against God is the desire to rule and reign on and over the Temple Mount. That's exactly what Satan said that his agenda was. I will ascend to the heights of the north. I will be like the Most High God. Ascending to the heights of the north was a way of saying, I will ascend to the Temple Mount and rule and reign there. The very place that God said he had chosen to place his name there. So Satan says, I'm going to place my name there. And the nations of the earth are being choreographed by Satan and his whatever you want to call them, if you want to call them demons, if you want to call them human beings that have submitted to his word, his will, and his ways, whatever you want to call them. He is using them to choreograph together and bring about the final effort for Satan through his counterfeit Christ figure, the Antichrist, to rule and reign from the Temple Mount. That's the ultimate expression of the war against God. Whereas the Apostle Paul says in first in Thessalonians, he says, he will ascend to the new built, into the rebuilt temple, and declare himself God, sitting in the place of God. That's ultimate warfare, friends. And that war, you see, takes place on many fronts. We think that the war just takes place in the great battlegrounds that we see out there with the, you know, the shots being fired and all of the fireworks and all of that. No, the real battle is going on behind the scenes with the hearts and the souls of men and women, you and me, Christians being caught up in it, being deceived, thinking that somehow we're being loving and kind and merciful, when in fact we actually are arrogating ourselves over God's word, will, and ways, where he said to Abraham, I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. And we say, yes, but. Well, yeah, but we have these Palestinian folk. They're so loving. They're so kind. No, they're not so loving and so kind. I have here, right here, an article, and we've actually heard him, I believe, some excerpts here on this program just a couple of weeks ago, the son of Hamas, Mossab Hassan Youssef, the son of infamous Hamas co-founder Sheikh Hassan Youssef, said in an interview with Dr. Phil on Tuesday of this week, there is no difference between Hamas and the Palestinian people themselves. In other words, the people in Gaza. They all have voted for him, for Hamas. They are in support of Hamas. Over 80% of them are in support of Hamas, and they do not deserve the level of compassion and innocency that is being ascribed to them by the secular world leaders who hate God and despise Israel. They're just using this as a device to take dominion over Israel, which has always been their goal. That's why the scripture says, Israel shall not be reckoned among the nations. In other words, Israel will be deemed the odd man out. And Tamar Yonah, just 2 days ago here on this program from Jerusalem, confirmed exactly that. I hope you've been listening to these programs, friend. If not, go to the website, saveus.org, and begin to listen.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
The eternal epic and end time battle described in the book King of the Mountain. King of the Mountain. It will help you to understand the greater picture, the panoply of God's prophetic purpose, going back all the way to creation and before, when Satan was in the Mount of God, and arguing with God, and he was cast out, and the rest is history as we're having to deal with the fallout of his massive envy against God. You could call it the War of the Worlds if you wanted to, but we're calling it King of the Mountain because it's the battle for the rulership of the world from the Temple Mount. It's a $20 book, yours for $15, on the website saveus.org, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, that's 1-800-SAVE-USA, or you can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $5 for postage and handling. King of the Mountain. You won't be disappointed. I can almost guarantee it. All right. So what other aspects are included in this great battle or war against God? Well, here's a podcast that came from Israel National News. Walter Bingham is the host. And it's headlined, Europe is Consumed with Anti-Semitism. And anti-Semitism was virtually institutionalized in our mother country, England. Friends, anti-Semitism is the Jewish version of persecution. It's persecution against the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's what it is, anti-Semitism. And as our special guest, Tamar Yonah, who is the voice of Israeli radio in English, it's the only English radio program, I believe, in Israel. And you can listen to that interview, which was Wednesday of this week, right there on our website, saveus.org, with Tamar Yonah. And she made very clear that Israel would not be reckoned among the nations, even though Israel has always wanted to be recognized among the nations. God says she will not be. And that Israel would be under attack from all over the world. All the nations of the earth. The prophet Zechariah, Zechariah chapter 12, says all the nations of the earth will come against her. Isn't that what's happening? Even the United States, first through Obama and now through Biden, doing exactly the same thing. We are totally undependable. 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 Mr. Biden is more interested in winning the votes of declared haters of Israel in Dearborn, Michigan, than he is in protecting our ally, Israel. That's the truth of the matter. According to the Jerusalem Post today, the Israeli Defense Force has halted leave for combat troops. The intel chief has warned that the worst is yet to come. The IDF yesterday halted leave for all combat units after the Israeli airstrike that killed an Iranian general in Damascus earlier in the week. It has been decided that leave will be temporarily paused for all IDF combat units. The IDF is at war, he said, and the deployment of forces is under continuous assessment according to requirements. On Wednesday, the IDF said it would call up reservists to bolster the IAF's air defenses. War. Wars and rumors of wars. Even on Wednesday, even as the interview with Tamar Yonah was taking place live here on Viewpoint, air raid sirens were going off both before and after the program there surrounding Jerusalem. This is real. It's not a game. The enemy of your soul and mine intends to take out the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to bring them to their knees in submission and utterly destroy them. Hamas has dedicated itself to that purpose. It's in their own charter, friends. First, they have to destroy the Jewish people, and then they have to destroy the Christians. Are you beginning to understand why we're putting such emphasis now on the persecution project? This is not something coming in the distant future. It's something that's already here. Persecution is a ramping up war against God all over the world. We see it in the Middle East. We see it in the Far East. We see it in Africa. In the appendix in my book, When Persecution Comes, will be a list, the current list of the 50 most dangerous countries in the world. About 350, 360 million Christians around the world right now are in serious danger of violent persecution. And in America, when a 72-year-old sweet grandmother, I'm looking at her picture right now, she did not go to the Capitol to stir up animosity. She went there to pray, and they arrested her a year and a half later, and she was just convicted yesterday and now may face a year in prison and fines up to $200,000 because she went to the Capitol to pray for our country. There is absolutely no sense, friends. This is a war for political power in order to destroy all vestiges of God and reverence for God in this country. I hate to put it so bluntly. I guess I spoke so strongly that my cell phone actually fell off the desk. But this is serious stuff. It really is. And when Hamas has rejected Israel's latest hostage deal proposal, they have absolutely no intention. I want to take you back for just a few moments to the days of Bill Clinton. You may recall one of the most famous photos in history was with Bill Clinton with his arms around Yitzhak Rabin as the Prime Minister of Israel then, and Yasser Arafat, there at the White House. And it was supposed to be the great celebration of peace on earth with the PLO, Palestinian Authority, and Israel. Not. In fact, as a result of that supposed peace, the PLO rejected the most unbelievable proposal that Israel could have ever given. In other words, Bill Clinton worked out something to virtually give everything that Yasser Arafat wanted, and he still rejected it. You know why he rejected it? Because he didn't really want peace with Israel. They just want to use this to compel pressure upon Israel through the nations of the earth that despise Israel because of their great envy. That's all it's for. It has nothing whatsoever to do with any measure of integrity to realize peace. They don't want peace. They want destruction. And they don't have sufficient power in themselves, so they have to choreograph the powers of the earth against Israel. And now, since things are heating up in the north with Lebanon through Hezbollah, this report comes while officials in the Biden administration call for calm amid heightened violence between Israel and the Hezbollah terror organization, an Iranian opposition leader said the current situation presents as good a time as any for the U.S. to attack Hezbollah's provider, Iran. In other words, there are forces saying Israel and the U.S. needs to attack Iran now. This is the moment. You either do it now or Iran's going to have its nuclear power. They're right on the verge of it now. So what are you waiting for? This is a very big deal. It's much bigger than any of us could possibly even imagine because we live in such a little cloistered section of the world where we hear news media, we don't know what to believe, we're so easily seduced, and the reality is we're in such relative prosperity, notwithstanding all the complaints about the economy, in relative prosperity, and we just don't want to be troubled by anything out there. But God is. God is concerned about Israel. Israel is the apple of his eye, still is. God says, the only way my promises to Israel are not going to be fulfilled is if the stars no longer shine, the moon no longer glows, and the sun no longer shines. That was his way of saying, I'm going to fulfill my promise. No matter what Israel does, I'm going to fulfill my promise. You see, God isn't like you and me. He's God. He keeps his word. That's why you and I need to spend more time in his word and less time in the words of the Democrat Party or the Republican Party. Party politics are not the answer to our problems. That doesn't mean we shouldn't vote. We should vote. And we should do the best that we can to understand the best possible candidates in line with the word, will, and ways of God. And those that most oppose the word, will, and ways of God. If we have people who are supporting the practice of homosexuality and abortion and transgenderism and the breakdown of the family, those are the fundamental aspects of the creation ordinance, friends. That is a direct attack on God. If you know that somebody or some party or whatever has openly and notoriously declared those things to be part of their platforms, you know automatically without any other discussion, you don't have to go beyond that, beyond any other discussion, anybody that has the chutzpah to declare war on God by embracing exactly the opposite of what he has said in his word in the creation ordinance of man. There's no further discussion. Nobody's perfect, including you and me. God is looking for someone to make up the gap, stand at the gap, make up the head, stand at the gap. But he couldn't find anybody. Can he find you? Can he find me? Now's the time, friends. These are the times. War has been declared against God. Who are you following? Are you really obeying God? Is he really your God? I don't mean just in theory. Is Jesus really your Lord? Are you doing what he says? Refraining to do what he says you should not? Loving him with your whole heart, soul, and strength? Loving your neighbors, yourself as a result? Let's be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. If we want to win the war that's against God, we've got to start in our own house. Don't you think? Thanks for joining us. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith, friends, to Save America Ministries. Do it today. Appreciate so many of you that are helpful. Those of you who have not yet begun to do that, why don't you consider it before God? God bless.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.